It's the BNS in 20 Minutes or Less podcast. Your daily download of X92.9's X Mornings with Beckler and Shauna.
A friend texted me earlier this morning, a friend who was a very dedicated listener to our podcast, and said, make sure you really punch July on the podcast today. So let me just get seated here. It's Monday, July 6th, 2020. I'm Beckler. Oh, you look unimpressed.
You did this every single day of July last year, and now you're doing it again. And your friend guaranteed told you to do that just to annoy me.
Get into
they
it.
Know
We're only 6 days in.
Holy hell.
How was your weekend?
It was great.
What did you do?
I was pretending to be a tourist in Banff.
Okay.
Yeah, because we can't go away, so I decided to make like a tourist trip for myself. So I did the Lake Minnewanka lake cruise and toured around Minnewanka. Which I've never done before, and I've lived here for almost 8 years, and so it was like, let's do that. I've always wanted to. So
was it cool? Was it worth it?
It was awesome. Yeah. It was the weather like changed 6 times while you're on the lake, which I learned is what the lake is called. That it's called spirits. It's about the spirits of the lake because of the weather and how crazy it changes and how quickly it changes like that. So we got to like really feel it.
I've never even seen Lake Minnewanka.
Oh, it's gorgeous.
We tend to go more to Kananaskis than to Banff.
Yeah.
Just to try to avoid some of the crowds, but...
Ha! Not this weekend.
Busy?
Oh my God, the Kananaskis turnoff was like 25 minutes long to get into Kananaskis this
weekend.
What? We got stuck behind it, and then as we passed the Kananaskis turnoff, then it was clear, smooth sailing for onward from Canmore to Banff and everywhere else.
Like by the casino?
Yeah.
What was going on? Was Prism playing or something? Must be Trooper or something.
It got to be. Must have been Trooper. Platinum Blonde playing. No, it was. I think it was Construction or something, but it was crazy. I've never seen it like that before. So,
VNS in 20 minutes or less.
The province of Saskatchewan has had some hot days over the past couple weeks. Even they had some tornadoes over the weekend. My parents live in Saskatoon. They have air conditioning at their house, but I think the unit is the original one from whenever the house was built, late 70s.
Oh, wow.
So my dad basically refuses to turn it on because he's afraid it's going to die, which is a real paradox. Why even have it then?
Yeah. At that point, you might as well get rid of it entirely if you're never going to use it. Like, is he waiting for in case of emergency? Like, how hot does it have to be for him to finally fire it up?
That's what I'm wondering. Like, if it gets into the 30s,
right?
It's to me, that would warrant, turning the air conditioning on.
Hmm.
Why not run it until it dies?
Yeah.
And then either you buy a new one, or if you don't want to, then you live like you're living right now.
Yeah.
Like, why not use it up?
It's the safety net of knowing they have it if they need it, but not wanting to use it, it sounds like.
I guess so, but he also knows he's never going to use it.
Yeah,
so
weird. It's funny because my
saving it for
my house is the opposite. My dad is the complete opposite of that. Whereas our house was like opening a refrigerator door when you open the door.
That sounds nice.
Oh man, my dad would have it so hot. You'd have to wear. We had to wear. It would be like 35 degrees outside, and we'd be wearing sweaters and everything inside, freezing.
You guys had some high and proud nips in that house, didn't you?
Holy, did wouldn't we ever?
My dad also tries to sell everyone else in the house on why he's not running it.
Well, that's amazing.
So he'll make comments like, oh, yeah, it feels like it's really cooling off now, isn't it? Got a nice breeze coming through the window. I don't think we need to turn the air on. who are you trying to convince, Dad, us or you?
Meanwhile, everybody's in their gitch just like dying. It's like, oh, so hot.
It's like I have a friend. He has a beautiful Toyota Tundra truck fully loaded.
Yeah.
He has never opened the sunroof because he says once you do, it never seals properly again. I'm like, why did you pay for that feature then?
Yeah.
If you weren't intending to use it.
It doesn't make any sense.
Or people who put plastic on their furniture. Who are you saving that for? Who is my dad saving the air conditioner for? Just run it.
Who
run
knows?
Run it till it dies.
I'd love to know what is going to actually make him start it up finally. Like, there's got to be a time.
When we were home a couple weeks ago, McKenna snuck up there after everyone had gone to bed and turned the air conditioner on.
Oh, my God.
And it's right outside his window.
I was going to
sure
say he would have known.
It's going to die.
Yeah. He goes right back down and shuts it off again. No!
The BNS in 20 Minutes or Less podcast.
I got a message from friend of the show, Emma, last week, and this is what it says. It says, I needed to tell you, on my drive to work, I heard a station asking, what's the worst stain you've had? I think that's even worse than what's your favorite flavor of chips. This is the message that I got.
I have to disagree that it's worse than what's your favorite flavor of chips, because no. The stain could come with a good story.
Okay.
Potentially.
You're right.
Depending on how you were stained, whereas the only possible answer to what's your favorite flavor of chips...
Barbecue.
Is a flavor of chips. Like there's
I mean, there are some exotic flavors of chips, however, still. As well, Beckler. To be fair, okay? There are some exciting ones coming down the pipes now, so... You're right, though. At least the stain could perhaps come along with some story.
But if it doesn't have a story, then it's just ketchup. Grass.
Of course, Karen from Airdrie would be like, wine.
What's your favorite? What's the worst stain you've ever got? Oh,
238-9929.
Call us, 238-9929. Oh, Sherry in Chestermere says, my ex.
Oh, my God.
X mornings, Beckler and Jada.
VNS in 20 minutes or less.
I was hesitant to even talk about this morning because we don't like giving any of the people we're about to mention any more attention than they already get.
That's true.
But
yeah,
Kanye West's presidential run is BS, right? Do you think he's legitimate?
I can't figure it out yet. I don't know. I
was trying to find out if he even can run this late in the campaign. But it seems news media doesn't know the answer to that either. Because I read a bunch of different articles and all they talked about were his wacky antics in the past and not about the process of getting a candidate on the ballot this late. I'm assuming an independent candidate. Like, I don't think he would be running for any party.
No. And that's probably why no one's talking about it, because everybody is just dismissing him as wacky Kanye antics again. But yeah, it's got to be. Like, this is what he does.
Well, he has a new album in the works.
Yep.
So this could very easily be a publicity stunt.
I know. And that's all I can... I hope so, anyway.
And then, I don't know if you saw this, but immediately after Kanye made his announcement, did you notice who the first person to loudly endorse his presidential bid was? Elon Musk. Of course
it was.
Elon's like, I want me some of that publicity.
The champions of publicity. Right there. I said that really weird.
Like, yeah, I'm going to get it on this one, I think.
Yep. Yeah.
I could probably get my name in the headlines,
Holy
too, if I...
Holy crap.
Oh, my... Like, do Kanye and Elon Musk and Donald Trump, do they have, like, meetings where they get together and just decide how they're going to dominate the headlines for the next, I don't know, quarter?
Probably. Probably just that they all have a Zoom chat together. Yeah. Like, what are we going to do next?
Kanye's like, I'm going to say something crazy.
Yeah.
Elon's like, I'm going to make a crazy promise.
Yeah, Kanye's just been chomping at the bit. He's like, it's time. Yeah. I can't hold back any longer. Let's go. Holy
and the rest
man.
Of us just go along with it.
Yeah, we're like, cool. Oh, it does. It dominates the headlines. Everybody picks up on it. Everybody talks about it. We're talking about it now. So clearly it's winning. I know.
I'm disappointed in us.
I know.
VNS in 20 minutes or less.
Did you know that China used to have a pro-smoking tax?
Like if you...
As in you could get taxed if you didn't smoke?
No way.
I stumbled across it yesterday and I started reading into it. I'm like, no, they didn't. But it was the Hubei province of China, I guess. And citizens of that province were ordered to smoke. And if you didn't, you risk being fined because cigarettes brought so much money into the province that they wanted everybody to buy them. They wanted to help the local cigarette makers. And they said that this pro-smoking tax would help boost the local economy.
How recently was this?
Well, in 2009, the government...
Oh, so recently.
Yes.
Okay. We knew about smoking by then. Okay.
We knew. I guess in 2009, the government in the province was ordered to smoke 230,000 packs of these cigarettes or they'd risk being fined. So they were forced to. The government workers were forced to smoke that many packs in a year.
How do you prove it? How do you prove that the person's smoking their cigarettes and not just... You're going to smoke this entire pack.
Like you're sitting at your desk working and the government walks in there like, all right, Stephen, we've noticed your work has been slipping lately. You've only smoked 17 cigarettes so far today and you should be at 25. So
take a smoke break.
You're going to have to stay late today. Yep. To finish your cigarettes. All right. You go back there and you finish them before you can leave.
China smokes a buttload isn't even the correct term.
No.
It's bigger than a buttload.
Bigger than a buttload.
So many cigarettes. I think I last read that in 2016 they were smoking around 2 trillion cigarettes as a country. I mean, there's a lot of people there too.
Yeah.
But they're a heavy smoking country, and there are a lot of people. So it's like the number of cigarettes is, you can't even visualize it.
You can't. And then when you see this, you're like, well, it kind of makes sense now, doesn't it?
You know who would love working there is Terry.
That's what I was thinking. We need a bit of a boost in our local economy. Maybe we should put that in, and Terry would be great.
Terry's like, I love working for this company.
Woo!
VNS in 20 minutes or less.
So I think my son, Bo, who's 5, he pulled a superhero move on the weekend, and I think he may have saved my younger son's life.
What?
So we were out for a walk, and they were on their bikes because they don't go very fast. Mm-hmm. And on the way back to our house, there's this hill that they come down. And Bo has enough control over his two-wheeler now that he can like bomb the hill and then hit the brakes and stop before he goes out onto the street.
Yeah.
But Brigham, he's a little shaky. So Bo went first and he stopped at the bottom. And then Brigham's coming, and you could tell Brigham's kind of out of control.
Oh.
And he's going to go onto the street, and it looks like there's a car coming. And I'm too far back to do anything about it at this time. But Bo amazingly noticed what was happening, and he tackled Brigham off his bike.
That's amazing.
It was incredible to watch. And then Brigham was crying, and he was mad at Bo because Bo hit him. And then Bo was sad because Brigham was upset, and like this from the, you know, like the chaos of it all.
Yeah.
And we're like, no, Bo, like don't cry. That was incredible. How did you know to do that?
Wow.
Yeah, it was just like it was instinctive almost.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Big brother. Instinctual.
It was a highlight reel play from a 5-year-old.
That's amazing. Good for him.
Yeah, I should probably keep bringing him a little closer than that. But
yeah, maybe. And get Bo an ice cream in the meantime.
I should probably get him an ice cream.
Yeah.
The BNS and 20 Minutes or Less podcast.
Here's another TV trope that's happening all the time on the Blacklist, that show that I've been watching.
Yeah.
It's another one that there's a lot of them.
You've been bringing us all these different, like, overdone TV tropes from that show.
Yes, yes. And it's funny because I was looking and the show got pretty good reviews, but there's a lot of these things that happen that you're just like, okay, all right, enough of this. When there's an explosion and it throws everybody off their feet and back.
Mm-hmm.
You know that classic maneuver, right?
Yeah.
That happens all the time on this show. Like, the main characters get thrown back so much that I'm just like, this is... You've got to, you know, and of course they get up and they're always fine. They'll maybe get a little slow to get up, but they'll always just get up.
A little soot on their face.
Yeah,
that's about it.
That's it. Dust themselves off and walk away. And I'm like, how many times? Like, how many times do you get thrown back by an explosion?
I don't know. And I've read about this, or maybe did Mythbusters look into it? But basically, yeah, like the movies show that if you're not within the fireball of the explosion, you're going to be okay.
Yes.
But like the air pressure and the concussive force from an explosion big enough to throw you back is going to really mess you up.
Yes. Yes. I was reading that it was like they actually compare it to being a toothpaste tub that you squeeze when that type of pressure is on you as a human. Like if you actually were to be thrown back by something like that, an explosion would kind of push you like
that.
And it could result in your organs exploding and everything else. And you wouldn't just fly back and then dust yourself off and have a little soot mark on your cheek that looks cute. And then,
yeah, if you see like videos of real explosions online, like there, you can see the shockwave go out and.
Yeah.
It's more than just the fiery part of it.
And this is hilarious because in this TV show, a lot of these explosions, then the fire will come right to the edge of you, kind of stop
right
where you are, and then you get flown back.
Or you jump and it almost kind of gives you a boost. Like, whoa!
The one I saw recently was so comical. It was just like, it looked obviously fake, and she like flew back, and then she just got up. Just, I'm fine.
But the soot shows that she has been through something.
Yes. But it's always
strategic. Some adversity.
It always looks nice,
yeah,
right? It almost looks like it's almost sexy. Like, you see her, the soot, you're like, oh, that's a good look.
Yeah, if she
like,
got up and she was puking her organs, and her eyes were no longer
wouldn't
in her
be
head.
Sexy.
It wouldn't be as sexy,
no,
would it?
No, would.
VNS in 20 minutes or less.
Let's kick off the week with one of these. Shauna, what are you listening to lately?
Ooh.
What's on your playlist these days? Nice weather?
I've got a super mellow one for you,
okay,
which is crazy. But this was actually from the show Blacklist that we were talking about. But they, it's funny, one of my favorite things about the show, I think, is that there's so much music that I'm discovering. They've got some good tunes in the playlist.
Okay.
So this is one of them.
You in the middle, me, I'm aging in there. You have changed for the better. Oh my, how we have grown. Oh my, how we have grown.
little diddle here. So that's that song. That's a band called Red Eye.
Red Eye. It sounds like it could be from the 70s.
Yeah.
That song. It sounds like it could be 40 years old, 50 years old.
It's true. It's a really bizarre song. It's interesting because that little diddle part at the end, it's really, really high and a bit scratchy.
It's really high.
And it kind of goes throughout a lot of the song, and it's just a really interesting, unique take on the fiddle, but it adds to it somehow, so I don't know. Anyway.
They're like, to the fiddle player, we need you up high on the neck of that thing.
Just like screaming.
Like barely audible.
Yeah.
And you just lay into it the whole time while she's going for the diddle. Get way up there.
Yeah.
Higher on the neck. Higher.
Still high.
Really squeal it out. Really let her hum. Heavens. That's way up there.
Sounds like a dying cat.
Can you go higher?
Like, holy Jesus.
Since it is or would have been Stampede Week.
Yes.
I've been listening to some country lately.
Country.
And I can't remember if I've ever talked about this guy on this segment or not. His name is Coe Wetzel, and he's from Texas, and he's like, he's an independent artist. He doesn't even have a Wikipedia page or anything, so it's kind of cool that he hasn't yet been corrupted by the major record labels that basically run country music, and they tell you who's going to write your songs and how you're going to sound and that sort of thing. The only reason I know about him is I have a couple friends from Texas, and one of them posted that he met him in a grocery store there. And I was like, who's this guy? So I checked out his music and happened to really like it. I'll give you a taste of that right here.
Hey. You owe me
more than just packing up and leaving. Without here in the dark, seems like a fun place to be. Just real authentic.
I'm a fan. Yeah.
VNS in 20 minutes or less.
A friend just got his 500,000 mile jacket as a trucker.
Wow.
Yeah.
Half a million miles.
So his company gave him this awesome leather jacket for it. And so it had the like company's name embroidered. Then it says 500,000 miles on it. And I was like, that's a pretty damn cool loyalty gift for an employee.
No kidding. How many kilometers is that? 804,000 kilometers.
A lot.
That is a lot.
Like, I didn't really know that truckers got gifts for reaching milestones of trucking, but I hope that they do. I hope that's a normal thing. Maybe it's just the one company, but I was like, that's a lot of trucking that you've done. You deserve to get something awesome for it.
I agree.
You should wear that with pride.
There should be jackets of different colors so that when you walk into a truck stop, everybody knows.
That would
Everyone
be
knows
amazing.
Right away.
You should. That would be amazing.
There's like one guy sitting there in a shiny gold jacket. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
Look at how many miles.
He's a million-mile trucker. He's just a grizzled veteran of the road.
I love it. I think more companies need to have more gifts like that for loyalty. Like, it doesn't seem to really... You know, you always hear, oh, I got a nice pen or something for being with a company for 10 years. And you're like, that's what you get? A pen?
10 years of your life.
10 years of your life is spent with this guy. Like, here's a pen.
Your gift is your paycheck.
I guess so.
But
I guess
you're right. Yeah, it's becoming more and more rare to spend that kind of time with a company.
It truly has.
I mean, certain jobs you lock in for 30-35 years, get a good pension, and you get out. But there are a lot of young people, you bounce around from company to company, from career to career, and to spend that much time working for one organization, like most of your life.
Yeah.
That should be acknowledged. I agree.
I think so. And again, as you said, it's less common, and it's not a thing at all, really. Like, people do jump around jobs all the time now. So if you do make it through that long,
those more than a pen. But look, it clicks.
Sir, is this not the one we hand out for free at the front desk? No.
A jacket.
A jacket is the way to go. A leather jacket. That's awesome.
A ball and color-coded jacket.
Yeah. Make it happen.
VNS in 20 minutes or less.
On Saturday, the Yellow Vesters were out protesting on either side of the bridge over the Elbow River back here.
Oh, yeah.
Just a small handful of them, and there's a police escort there, too, I'm assuming, to make sure everything stayed chill.
Mm-hmm.
I have to say, though, that movement could use a bit of focus.
Why?
Well, I was reading their signs, and I think there were as many different causes as there were protesters. Arrest Trudeau, fire Nenshi, 5G.
Okay.
I didn't see any this time, but in the past there have been, messages about immigration and about pipelines, and I'm thinking, let's dial it in here, guys. Like, let's if I were a consultant working with you, I would say, let's pick one idea and really hammer that.
Maybe they just all wanted to protest. Maybe they weren't, you know, maybe it's...
Could be that.
It's like protest could corner. That. Is that a thing now? Everybody just shows up and protests whatever they feel the need to protest?
Well, that's the thing, Shauna. You know, I'll always support anyone's right to protest peacefully.
Of course.
But with some of these leaderless movements, the messaging is really convoluted.
That's true.
Occupy Wall Street was very much like this a few years ago, too. You know, some people wanted the bankers charged. Some were mad at the 1%. Others wanted free tuition. And I remember, like, following the coverage thinking, this is a lot of different demands.
Yeah.
What is it that you want?
Hmm.
Could we pick one and focus on that? And then, you know, like, if there's one demand, then you can look at it as an outsider and be like, okay.
Yeah.
Or, no, I don't agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
But when there's so much going on.
It's true.
It's like, what do you...
Well, everybody likes the Coles Notes version of things, too, right? So you can't have a whole in-depth movement. You need to, like, stick to something simple that people can grasp.
Yep.
If you have a whole bunch of things like this, then you start seeing the signs, and you're like, what?
Trudeau, 5G.
What is...
Nancy.
I'm confused.
Huh?
Too much. Yeah, I see what you mean.
I think in many instances, it's like, it's frustration boiling over for a lot of different things, and peaceful protest could be a great release valve for that, but it helps when you can see a concrete demand and decide whether or not you want to support it.
It's true.
So, yeah. It was just a lot.
Rather than just protest corner. Whoa!
VNS in 20 minutes or less.
We got talking about cow fart taxes on Friday.
We did.
And many countries do have a tax now for each cow that you have, kind of like a carbon tax that you have to pay because of all the methane that this cow releases, right? But I got reading about this a little bit more because I was curious as to which animal produces the most amount of methane.
Okay, on Friday you said you were going to look into this and you actually did, hey?
I did.
You had quite a weekend, hey?
Well, I can't say that I'm going to do something and then not. I have to hold you to my word. Okay, so this is what I did. Now, here's the thing. It wasn't that interesting because it appears as though cows do win the battle. They produce the most amount of methane. Moose also produce a fair amount of it as well. But I was reading, as I was reading further into this, that it's actually burping that creates the methane more so than farting. So cow belches are what cause the most harm. But we always like to say cow farts, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of farmers are now trying to find ways to make their cows less gassy.
Well, I guess so, yeah. I mean, well, so you're just charged per cow. It's not like someone's out there with a meter trying to figure out how much gas is coming off each particular cow, right?
No.
Okay.
But that being...
just right in there. Let's see here.
No, that was only... Although, I guess if you do find a way to make your cows less gas, you would want them to measure the amount of methane, right?
Right.
Because you'd be like, I should get a discount. My cows are far less farty, so you should probably give me half a percentage off, you know?
Yeah, like, charge my neighbor. He's the one who stinks.
That's... So, yeah, they've been experimenting with, like, changing feeds and then, of course, planting more trees to counteract it is the thing they're doing as well.
Right.
And they're actually experimenting genetically and trying to see if they can just make cows naturally less gassy. And I was like, could we use that
breed
for humans
as
well?
Breed the farts out of cows? Is that what you're saying?
That's what they're experimenting with. Haven't been able to do it yet, but they're trying to figure out a way.
This really is a brave new world.
This really is. You know, for me, it's simple, though, to provide less gas. You just eat less dairy. And I was like, could you do that for the cows as well? Also, cows can be lactose intolerant. I found that out as well.
Do they, like as babies, obviously.
Yes.
We're not feeding grown cows lactose.
No. But as babies, they can. They can be very gassy and have diarrhea caused by lactose intolerance.
Oh.
So, I mean, that would also be a way to fix it, is if they are lactose intolerant, feed them some soy milk or something instead. But... I had a
thanks
riveting
for, thanks
weekend.
For all that, Shauna.
Woo!
You've been listening to the VNS in 20 Minutes or Less podcast. You want more? Then tune in to X Mornings with Beckler and Shauna live on Calgary's alternative X92.9. Monday through Friday, 6 to 10 a.m. Mountain Time at x92.9.ca. And don't forget to subscribe to this podcast and have VNS in 20 Minutes or Less downloaded daily to whatever device you use. Later.